Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. Very special service for the installation of our new grade school teacher. A few notes about the service today. Our order of service is printed for you in your service bulletin. Our hymns will be found in the maroon hymnal that's in your pews, and you should also have, at least near you, a worship and praise music folder. So we kind of ran out of those, so hopefully you can sit near enough to one to see the words when those songs come up. We begin our worship service this morning with a prayer. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great privilege of coming here to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we ask you to direct our hearts and minds so that our worship truly comes from our heart, that it gives praise to your holy name, and that it is pleasing through your Son, Jesus Christ, who has cleansed us from all our sins. Fill us with the only true wisdom, the wisdom of your salvation, Christ crucified for us. We ask these things in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn is hymn 867. Please rise. I invite you to follow the order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and to call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our own unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our own sinful condition. Together as his people, let's take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us confess our sins to God, our Father. O most merciful God, We confess that we are sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the very children of God and gives them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Heavenly Father, mercifully bless the Christian education of your children in our congregation, that they may grow up to know and love you and praise your holy name. Bless our Christian day school and all the other settings in which our children are brought closer to you. Restrain the activities of the evil one who would seek to undermine these efforts to provide for the spiritual growth of your children. Help us all to regard these children and our educational ministries as gifts from you. Encourage the members of our congregations to support those who teach and those who learn. Give joy to all who serve as teachers and give them the privilege of seeing the fruits of their labors. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for this morning is from Philippians chapter 2. We read verses 1 through 11. With these words, Paul reminds us that as servants of Christ and as a public minister of the word to the children of our congregation, Rebecca, you are a servant, a minister of Christ. A reminder that one of the key and most important traits of a minister is to be humble. The example and the inspiration for our humility comes from Jesus himself. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, Paul writes, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. Glory to you, O Lord. This reading from Romans chapter 12 reminds us that whether we are a teacher or a pastor or whatever our occupation, whoever we are as Christians, we have been given certain gifts by God to be used in the service of his kingdom and used in proportion to which God has given them to us. Paul again writes, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. This is the word of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia.
Please rise. Let's join in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 6 in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 830.
You may remain seated. We ask the children of our congregation to come forward for their children's sermon at this time. Good morning. Glad to have you here this morning. We are going to be talking about work in our sermon. Doesn't sound like a very happy subject, does it? No? Have you ever thought about what you want to do for the work you're going to do when you grow up? You thought about what you want to be when you grow up? You have, Ollie? What would you like to be?
Locomotive driver.
I could have guessed that. Locomotive driver for trains. You love trains. That's pretty good. Pretty good guess if I had guessed that. Yeah. Do you know what you want to be when you grow up, Rachel?
Maybe a zookeeper.
A zookeeper. That'd be great. That'd be a great job. Dalton, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Truck driver.
Truck driver. All right. You can drive the trucks from the locomotive that Oliver drives, right?
Yeah.
How about you, Clark? What would you like to be when you grow up? Do you know? Haven't thought about it yet? You already decided? What do you want to be? Not sure yet. You know, when I was... Big rig driver. Okay, good. You and your brother. Awesome. When I was your age, I wanted to be all kinds of different things, and I thought I could be all of them at one time. I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to be a professional baseball player. I wanted to be a sports announcer, which is really hard to do if you're a baseball player. And I wanted to be a pastor, all at the same time. Turns out, one out of four, right? Became a pastor. Oh, good. Thank you. I'm glad you think it's the best one. Good. It's Rachel's words, not mine. Do you think, though, if you were a zookeeper, or if you were a train conductor or engineer or a truck driver, do you think that you can serve God with the work that you do? Or do you have to be a pastor or have to be a teacher like Mrs. Little? You think you can serve God with that job? You can. Guess what our sermon's going to tell us today? It's going to tell us that even if you're not a teacher, even if you're not a pastor, what can you do?
Get a job.
You can get a job, yeah. You can still do it, and you can do it to the glory of God and serve Him through doing it.
You can do anything to the glory of God.
You are exactly right. The sermon is done. Yes, you can do anything, and you should do everything to the glory of God. So listen carefully today to the sermon and think and hear of ways that we can give God the glory in everything that we do, including what we will do with our work, even now when we're children. Okay? Thanks for coming up. You can return to your seats with your parents. Please rise. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow workers in God's kingdom. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this installation Sunday is taken from Philippians chapter 2. We'll read one short verse, verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. When someone asks you the question, what do you do for a living, how do you usually respond? Don't you usually respond with something like, I am something? I am an engineer, I am a police officer, or in your case, Rebecca, I am a teacher, or at least you're about to be a teacher. You were before, so you still are a teacher. We don't respond by saying, I do engineering, I do law enforcement, or I do teaching. Even though that's the question we were asked, right? What do you do for a living? Do you ever think about why we respond that way? Could just be a figure of speech we've grown accustomed to saying, and it does kind of sound strange if you were especially a teacher. It doesn't sound very educated to say, I do teaching. It's probably what you don't want to say or sound like if you are actually a teacher. But I think another reason why we respond that way when you're asked, what do? We respond with, I am a pastor, or I am a teacher, or I am a truck driver. We respond that way because work is such an important part of our lives, of who we are. It takes up a tremendous amount of our time, our energy. It even becomes a lot of what becomes our identity, especially if it is not just a job, but more like a career, or what we might call a vocation.
You ever wonder where that word comes from? Vocation? It's actually from a Latin word, vocare, which means to call. In a sense, then, we all have a calling in our vocation. Now, it's obvious in a day like this where we are installing a Christian day school teacher, we use those terms with teachers and pastors in the church. We talk about having the call or extending the call to someone, a divine call from the Lord. It's obvious when God says our work is to be done, it's going to be a divine call, work that will be done in His kingdom for the service of His people, whether young or old or somewhere in between. But how about the rest of us? How about the rest of you who are here today? Is God at work in your work? Well, as we look at our sermon text for this special service and we look at the rest of Scripture, we find a very resounding yes. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit would bless our message today, that it would be applicable, that it would be encouraging and faith-strengthening to everyone, no matter what your line of work. First of all, let's recognize the importance of work in our lives and in our world. Work is a gift from God. It really is. It's a gift from God. We know this from, well, maybe just practical reasons. When we look at what work does for us, provides for us a living, provides for our families, gives us money even to support the Lord's work, and even to give to charitable causes. So we see it's a blessing there. But think about this fact, that even before the fall into sin, before this world became fallen, God gave Adam and Eve work. A blessing. He gave them work to do to tend to that garden, that beautiful place He had made for them. Now, obviously, since the fall, just like everything else in this fallen world, work is no longer the perfect gift that God intended it to be. It's far from it. Am I right? Ever had a case of the Mondays? You wouldn't if you're a pastor. That's my day off. So it's a plug for the ministry. But no, it's not always the fulfilling, joyful, beneficial work that God desires it to be. Work can be very tedious, boring. It can be stressful. At times it can be downright awful. And unfortunately, it can even be awful for pastors and teachers, for called workers in God's kingdom. So sorry, Rebecca, if I'm pulling the curtain back too far and letting you know that it's not always going to be amazing and wonderful like our week of VBS was. Sometimes it's downright challenging, difficult, and sometimes awful. But let's keep in mind that our work, no matter what our vocation is, work is truly a blessing from God. As one person put it, in vocation, in our work, God is hidden even in the mundane activities of our everyday lives. That's quite the blessing, isn't it? God is hidden in our work. He is there in even the most mundane activities of our everyday lives. Think about that. God does work usually through regular physical means. And therefore, that's the way He usually gives us His gifts. He gives us His gifts through the very regular, ordinary physical means of work. Our work or the work someone else does. Think of how often you are blessed by the work of someone else. Whenever someone does something for you, makes you a meal, fills in a pothole in the road, cleans your house, teaches your children, preaches a sermon, or develop software for your iPhone to work properly so you can take that super cute selfie, post it to Instagram immediately. Think of what a blessing that is. Not that last one, but the other ones. Be grateful that through the people of God, through people, God blesses you through their work. When you think about it, our work and where we work is actually one of the ways, one of the major means by which God gives us opportunities to serve others, to show love for Him and to show love for our neighbor, just as He commands us. Jesus was once asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus gave an answer that had two parts. He said, "The greatest commandment is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these."
love God, love your neighbor. How in the world can you actually physically serve God? You can't see him. How can you physically love God? You can't touch him. He's not physically right here, visibly present with us. He's here, but not visibly. We serve and love him by serving and loving each other. When God says serve and love your neighbor, he means everyone. Martin Luther once wrote about the connection between our work and our love for God and our love for our neighbor. He once said these things. He said, "A Christian lives not in himself, but in Christ and the neighbor. He lives in Christ through faith and in his neighbor through love." And he said, "Good works are not to be done for God." He says, "Rather, they must be done for one's neighbor. God does not need our good works, but our neighbor does." So the question is God at work in and through us when we are at work? He is. He most definitely is. But maybe he's a bit more hidden by us than he ought to be. If we think of the work that we've been given to do each day, whatever it is, wherever it is, at home, at school, or in the office, on assembly lines, maybe on the back of a dump truck, the work that God has given to us, if we think of that as being the ministry he's given to us, that may change our perspective of work and the blessing that it is. The word ministry simply means service. So our work is, in a sense, the ministry that God has given to us, the service he has given to us to other people. Ministry, as defined by the New Testament, is any service that is performed by a Christian that is motivated and empowered by the Holy Spirit, that benefits other people and brings glory to God. And that is why the Apostle Paul could write, as one of our children said in the children's sermon, "Whatever you do can be done to the glory of God." Paul put it this way, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." How can we bring glory to God through our work? Well, the scriptures consistently teach that whatever our work, wherever it is, whatever it is, whether it's saving souls through the teaching and preaching of his gospel or cleaning toilets, we should do it with diligence. We should do it with excellence, with self-sacrifice that honors him and serves others. Jesus once said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Think of how brightly our lights shine at work when we do the things that Jesus wants us to do for him, but also for our coworkers, for our bosses, for the people who are employed by us. Think of how brightly that light shines, especially if it's jobs or work or certain types of our work that are less than desirable, that truly are serving. Think of how brightly our lights will shine when we do our work with integrity, with diligence, with excellence and skill. Work hard at it. Develop our skills. Develop an attitude of excellence in our work. Think of how our lights will shine if we go to work each day and work each day with an attitude of thankfulness. Do you think people will wonder what in the world is up with that guy if you go to work every day thankful for the job that you have? Or with that girl if she goes to work with thankfulness in her heart? And finally, going and doing our work with love. I think we forget that often, don't we, when we do our work. Do it with love. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, let all that you do be done with love. All. That would include our work. No matter what it is, no matter where it is. So our work does become service. And in fact, it does become worship to God when we dedicate it to him. When we perform it to his glory. Perform it for the service of others. And do it with an awareness that God is at work with us and through us. Now, none of that would even be truly possible or even desirable to us if it wasn't for the fact that God is at work in us and that he is at work for us. Remember those words of our sermon text for today from Philippians chapter 2. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. In other words, it is God who gives you the motivation, the want to, and the ability to carry out the work that he has given to you today. May that be a comfort and a source of strength to all of us, and especially to you today, Rebecca, as you approach the overwhelming responsibility, yet blessed privilege, of teaching Jesus' little lambs in our school. It is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Doesn't that help to take the pressure off of you? He places the responsibility on himself, not just to get the work done, but to get you going to get the work done and carry it out according to not your purpose or my purpose, but to his purpose. That is all a part of his grace. That is the most important part of his work for us. It has absolutely nothing to do, in fact, with our work. But it has everything to do with Jesus' work. One of the most important passages on work actually has nothing to do with work itself. The verses after it talk about work, but the verses before it that I'm about to read to you talk about work, but has nothing to do with the work that we've done. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Jesus' perfect work, his perfect life, his innocent death on the cross to pay for every one of our sins, his glorious resurrection from the grave, that is the work that earned us forgiveness. What earns for us God's unending, unconditional love and eternal life with him forever in heaven. In fact, because of Jesus and his work, God now counts our work, as flawed and as tainted and as incomplete as it is, he counts it as righteous. He counts it as perfect in his sight. That led the Apostle Paul to once put it this way. He said, "And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted to him as righteousness." And so my prayer for you, Rebecca, today and going forward, and to all of us as we go about our work, is the same prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the Philippian Christians to whom he wrote this letter. He prayed these very words one chapter before our sermon text. "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, thy Holy Spirit from me.
Restore unto me
the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit.
Be seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. At this time, we ask the children of our Vacation Bible School to come to the front of the church to sing their song, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. They'll be singing through the verse once, and then the congregation is asked to join in singing it through a second time. You can find that song printed in your praise and worship folder, hymn number 8. This time we ask our new teacher, Rebecca Lillo, to come forward for her installation. Dear sister in Christ, St. Stephen Lutheran Church at a voters' call meeting asked for God's guidance and acting in his name called you to be our second teacher at St. Stephen Lutheran School. By God's guidance, you have been led to accept this call, and you are now about to enter upon the duties of your important calling. For the faithful performance of this calling, you will be blessed by God and held accountable to God. Therefore, I ask you in the presence of God and of this congregation, do you promise with the help of God to faithfully perform all of the duties of your office in accordance with the Word of God and the confessions of our congregation, according to the ability which God gives to you? If so, answer by saying, I do so promise with the help of God.
I do so promise with the help of God.
Will you, trusting in God's care, seek to grow in love for those you serve, strive for excellence in your skills and teaching, and adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ with a godly life? If so, answer by saying, I will with the help of God.
I will with the help of God.
At this testimony of your sincere intent, in the name of our congregation, I install you as a teacher in our Christian Day School and give you the right hand of fellowship and love. Dear members and friends of St. Stephen Lutheran Church, I encourage all of you through Jesus Christ, who has graciously given this teacher to our school, that you would look upon her and honor her as one who is sent by the Lord, that you would faithfully assist her in the performance of her duties and diligently help her in the Christian training of our children. Be sure to send your children to school regularly and on time, teaching them to respect and obey their teacher. Do this for the sake of God, whose name may be glorified in our school by our children. Do this for the sake of our children, that through the labors of our teacher, they may be brought up in the training and instruction of the Lord, to the praise of our glorious God, and to their own physical and eternal welfare. Dear children of the congregation and of our school, may Jesus, our good shepherd, give to you, dear children, good and happy hearts that are willing to listen and obey your dear teacher. Among the many things she will teach you, the most important thing is the saving word of God. You should love, honor, and respect her because Jesus has sent her to you. You should always listen to her and be obedient when she instructs you in God's name. May God strengthen your faith to do all these things so that your teacher's work among you will be a blessing to you, and that Jesus' promise may be fulfilled, I give them eternal life. And to all of you, dear fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, you have heard the confession and the solemn promise of Rebecca, who has been called into the office of teacher in our church and school. I ask all of you now in the presence of God, will you receive her, showing her fitting love and honor, and support her by your gifts and prayers? If then, answer by saying, we will with the help of God. We will with the help of God. And those who have been asked to come to do the laying of hands, please come forward for that. Rebecca, I share with you words from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter, or the law, kills, but the Spirit gives life.
2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 through 7. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, and not to us.
Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
From 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 3. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, that you, who have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrusted to faithful people who will be able to teach others also.
Please rise. You may be seated. We'll continue with the singing of song number 11 in your praise and worship folder. We'll sing the song, Here I Am.
Thank you.
Please rise. We'll join in prayer and ask the Lord's blessings on our new teacher, Rebecca Lillo. Are there any other prayer requests for this morning? Terry. Wonderful. Wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. We'll say a prayer of thanksgiving for Wayne's daughter. No more cancer is found in the test. That's great. Any other prayer requests today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus Christ, our great physician, we're so grateful and thankful for the news that Michelle's surgery has been successful, and that there's been no cancer found in the tests. We pray, Lord, that you give her full and complete recovery from her illness and give her strength each day to serve you and to do your will. We ask you especially, Lord, to continue to strengthen her faith in you, that she may be encouraged and comforted by your gospel message that you are her Savior. Almighty God, you are the everlasting fountain of all wisdom. You have established this Christian school to the glory of your name and have consecrated it to your service. We praise and bless your name and give thanks to you for your great goodness. We pray that you would continue your blessings upon our school, that your word may dwell richly in us and in our children, and that your name may be glorified among us. Give to your servant Rebecca your Holy Spirit, and fill her with wisdom and power from on high, that she may lead our little ones to you, and in the face of any discouragements, wait faithfully for your promised help. Give to our children godliness and obedience, and let them so profit by their instruction in your holy word that they may be preserved from all sin and serve you all their days, and finally, in the end, receive eternal life. Stir up the hearts of all the parents of our students and the members of this congregation to regard their teachers as one who is sent by God to help them in the Christian training of their children, to pray for the work and welfare of our school and congregation. Dear Lord, we ask that you'd continue to build your kingdom here, both in our area and around the world, to the end of time. Hear us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, in whose name now we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 837.
Please rise. Receive now with joyful, believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We close with hymn 861. Congregation, I'd like to welcome all of our guests and our visitors who are with us today, including our sister congregation from East Bay. We're glad and thankful to have all of you with us for this very special worship service today, and pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard. I said last week, someone helped me remember this one very special, important announcement, and I forgot to put it in the bulletin, but I did remember it. I have it circled in yellow highlighter. We need to take a congregational picture after the service is over, probably immediately in front of the church sign. Our congregation is up for an article in the magazine for our church body, so we need a good congregational picture of as many of our members who are here today. And if we could have one of our guests please take a picture for us, that would be awesome. We'll do that immediately after the service. I'm going to change and run out there with you. Rebecca, you are asked to come and greet people with me at the front of church following the worship service today. After the very important picture, we will have a church picnic and a welcome meal and presentation for Rebecca, starting as close to 11 a.m. as possible. You are definitely all welcome to stay for that. There will be plenty of food, and you're asked to join in the festivities today as well. We certainly can. Yes, let's say the table prayer after we're done with the announcements. We'll say that here while we're all gathered. A few other announcements from this week. Tuesday, our Stockton area worship service with communion will be at 2 p.m. That will be at the Niblett home. Wednesday, we'll have a 50th anniversary planning committee meeting at 7 p.m. We'll meet at the Drews home. And then Friday, Board of Education meeting will be at the Teacherage. And when we say Teacherage, we mean Teacherage because both of our teachers live there right now. Next Sunday, we'll be having our Bible class at 8:45, worship service at the usual time of 10. Communion will be celebrated next Sunday, both here in Mountain View and in Hayward. That service will be at 1 p.m. in Hayward, Bible class at 2, the usual time.
A very big thank you to all of you who helped in any way with the Vacation Bible School this week. It was extremely enjoyable, a very blessed time. We had 12 students. They were very well behaved. They learned a lot. And we had three volunteer teachers from the Traveling Vacation Bible School Committee, young people who came from the Midwest to teach with us. They were not able to come today. They had to fly out yesterday, but they did a wonderful job, and we were certainly blessed to have them with us. If you'd like to contribute to the efforts of the Traveling Vacation Bible School and keep that program going, you're invited to give your offerings and mark them TVBS. Any other announcements I'm forgetting that I should have circled in yellow highlighter this morning? Four students from LC. Yes, we did. Yes, we had. That's right. Lexi was here helping as well. One of our students is here that's helping. You traveled for this, so yes, you're part of the Traveling Vacation Bible School as well. Thank you for the correction. Any other announcements this morning? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.